Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Christian Temple. For the next 30 minutes, let our pastor, Brother Rob Coons, bring us the uncompromised Word of God. And let us, with the saints of God, enter into a service already in progress.
And I'm going to read here some scripture to you in Acts 19. It says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Now I'm going to say this, I know that many in our Pentecostal churches, I said they'll go to that particular scripture and they'll also go over to Acts, the second chapter. And they have a problem with rending the veils of baptism here. And they're taking this to the baptism, and we would say the infilling, they say the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they say, is that correct or is that right? And I said, yes, that both of them most definitely have to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Very, very important to believe and understand that. But also, we need to understand the importance here that when this brother came speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but then he saw it necessary that they would even be baptized with water. So we find a water baptism, we find a spirit baptism. And actually, when we go into dissecting and breaking these sounds, we find a water, blood, and a spirit. And many times you'll find that the blood and the spirit will run together, or would appear to run together, but they can be dissected in a perspective of comprehension and understanding. Just as we find soul and spirit, many ministers would tell you, say, well, there's really no difference in soul or spirit. And I've heard them say this. I've heard ministers that were supposed to have a good understanding. But we have taken time here through the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've rended the veil between soul and spirit that you could comprehend and understand. You see, we say there's one God, one faith, one baptism. But then yet again, we dissect baptism into a water, blood, spirit. We say one God. But then yet we dissect this one God into, again, a water, blood, spirit. We say Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And we say Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And some would say there's no difference in Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. I can remember Sister April asking me the question not too long after I'd first came up here. Is there any difference between the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit? If I said there is no difference, would I be right or would I be wrong? I would be right. But then yet I could also, on the other hand, dissect the difference between it's one and the same Spirit, but then I could dissect in a, when we would say, dispensational perspective of a timely order, I could dissect the difference and say that the Holy Ghost was after the Spirit of the Holy Spirit had been personified in a bodily perspective, and it had been through this personification, and then when it returned back, it came back as the Holy Ghost. And this is when the gift of the Holy Ghost was given, because the attributes of this invisible God, we say the Father being invisible, that when the attributes of this invisible God were manifested or personified within the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the invisible things of God or the attributes of God were comprehended and understood in the personification. And when the personification was taken away through the crucifixion and it was sent back, it was recognized and comprehended, and that was the Holy Ghost. So see, the thing is that if you saw a spirit and it was made visible to you, or this spirit you made through the discerning of spirits, or through this gift of God that you could see or have this singular eye opened into the spirit world that you could see this spirit, then if you did not know the spirit from when it was personified, you would have just recognized it as a spirit. But when you recognized it from being the spirit that dwelled within the Lord Jesus Christ, then it was that ghost, you see, that come back. Now, we've explained this and took more time in explaining this in times past. So we see that it is one in the same spirit, even as it talks about the Holy Ghost overshadowing Mary. You see, and you say, well, how could this Holy Ghost be overshadowing Mary when that was before the fact of this spirit manifesting within the personification, or within the spirit manifesting within the Lord Jesus? And we see that we know that He was crucified before the world ever was. And this is where, when we go into dissecting and comprehending and understanding and trying to keep dimensional perspectives together, that we could always see these things to understand. Because one, we could say, when were you saved? When one brother might say, well, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I got on my knees and I prayed and I accepted Him. I confessed with my mouth and I believed. And he'd say, that was when I was saved. See, you could say yea and amen, I understand that. No, that's when there was a manifestation of His salvation taking place. I could remember being indoctrinated in many things before I came to Bethlehem. I came to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to a knowledge of a need, of a necessity of salvation, of repentance, of asking God to forgive me. I came to a understanding of a need that I needed to give things up in my life and make changes within my life. I come to understand those things, but see, when I came to Bethlehem, and then I read the book Water Baptism, I read it in such a way, I said, well, man, according to this, I have not been saved. According to what Brother Pike is preaching here. And as I went to him, he said, oh, no. He said, your name was wrote down in the book of life before the world ever was. You see, he goes, this is just made proof now. This is just being made manifest now that you were and your name was written down because you've come to this. If you didn't come to this Jesus name baptism, then it would show that you were never saved. It would have shown because if you are truly saved, then that means you have the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you are truly saved, because the Bible says without His Spirit, you're none of His. And if you're saved, you are His. And if you are His, you have His Spirit. And if you have His Spirit, then that means that you have a hunger and a thirst for the truth and for the things of righteousness. It really bothers me when people have been religious all their life and when they come to the truth of God's Word and they close ears to it. It makes me know that there's a problem. And I'm not going to tell you that if it's a friend or if it's somebody and they reject the Word, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they're lost, but it does most definitely alarm me. And the thing is maybe it isn't season, maybe they will come, but if they keep rejecting and rejecting and rejecting the truth, and they stay within their own religious ways and religious things, then that is alarming to me as a minister. You say, well, does that mean they're on their way to hell? Well, I could be bold enough to say to you that most definitely, but then yet I do leave an element of grace with God. And I know that the Jews were blinded in part and that they were turned over to a stupor, so to speak, that they would not be held accountable to some of the things that when we had our eyes opened, and when we got our eyes open, that we came to an accountability, and there's much more required of us when we come to this understanding. But I can say this for sure, if people have been blinded in part, or been turned over to stupor, or walking in a natural Jewish perspective of thought, then they will most definitely go through the tribulation. And they may not find themselves in hell. They may not find themselves going and being cast into the lake of fire, but they will most definitely find themselves in the tribulation period. And they will find themselves ceasing from sin through suffering. Now, I know that we bring it out in so many ways by rending veils of comprehension and understanding that he who suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. But the thing is that there will be, and that would be by the mercies of God, that some, if they did make it into the tribulation period, and they would come in as of by their own blood and of by their own suffering. But see, we being the saints of God, the ones truly born of God, we come in by faith. And we believe in faith, and we believe in crucifixion in faith. We believe in resurrection in faith, and we believe in the works of Christ in faith, and it makes us come in through faith. We're saved by faith through grace. So the thing is when we start rending dimensional barriers or veils, and we think of these things, and we rend the veil between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, and we come down between soul and spirit, be one and the same. It would bring us into an understanding of comprehension. And then when we go in, and then we find that depending on which plateau we look at things from, or what dimension we look at things from, if we look at it from a soulish realm, it would appear to look different than it would from a spiritual standpoint or perspective. Or if we look at it from a natural or a bodily standpoint, then it would appear to look different. You see, if you would look at things from the water world or from the Jewish type, then you would look to be the elect, and you would look to be the apple of God's eye. But we stand over in a spiritual perspective or plateau, and we look at it and we say that we are the true Jew or the spirit Jew, and that we are the apple of God's eye or the touch-me-nots of God. So then when we depending on where we look, that we look at it differently. So as we start rending veils of things, many times people will rise up against you and they won't want to walk with you, or they'll break fellowship with you because they're standing in a wrong perspective when you speak and looking at it in the wrong way. So there's many things. As me as a man, I cannot stand before you as a man and tell you that I am a God. Even though Satan is the god of the world, speaking in a spiritual perspective and seeing that thing being a spirit. So we know that when we speak of God, if we speak of Satan being God, or if we speak of God, our salvation, our Redeemer, the Messiah, we speak in both of in perspectives of in the Spirit. Now, when we know that this God manifested within the flesh, this is what we've got to understand. It manifested in the flesh. The fleshly part was the Son of Man. The God part was the spiritual quickening that dwelled, the Christ part that manifested within that body. And it most definitely was a mortal body or a body of corruption, but he suffered it not to see corruption according to the scriptures, and resurrected this thing and changed it from telestial into celestial, or changed it from a mortal body, and it was planted into the ground and raised into immortality. So we have to understand that there was a metamorphosis or a change or a transfiguration, and even the Lord Jesus showed this by going upon the Mount of Transfiguration and seeing him outshine this noonday sun or so bright of appearing there on that thing, and show the transfiguration before the crucifixion, or before the thing that took place at Calvary, by the Spirit being the forerunner, or the Spirit running the thing of the things in the Spirit happening first. So there again, as we start rending the veils, we think of baptism. When we find this water baptism, we go back and we find that it runs in a parallel with the Jew. And as I'm speaking of this, even this Baptist church, and thinking of this van and how this thing rolls around, and being of this first part and looking at them being blinded in part, not really understanding good when good comes, and showing this Jewish perspective, showing a bodily perspective, knowing that the Jew and the water world and the bodily part run together. And the Lord spoke to me about Baptist, bringing this thing from the Baptist. So we see that. And then we coming over to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the understanding coming from the home of the soul of Bethlehem, coming across what we would say the Jordan of the intellectual mind, caught up into the heavenlies or in the high point, showing this thing of Brother Pike's ministry and coming up here and receiving this thing from this Baptist church and receiving even through the building again. And then we find that it shows again a redemption to the body. And we understanding spirit baptism, we understanding dimensional projections of revelation by the indoctrination and tutoring from the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, and from our great pastor, Brother Pike, bringing us into these kind of understandings. So we see this coming together once again. We see things showing a redemption. Many things, again, as I spoke on just a couple little things here at the beginning of the service, that we could start putting things together. Again, the satellites. Again, even to the perspective of the tractor and the kind of tractor it is and the kind of trailer it was, and them coming together. And the brethren come up here, I said it had to do with the bicycle showing a bi, or the second cycle showing again of these things. So many things going back into Mexico. So many things, brothers and sisters, are showing a redemption to the body or purchased possession, and all of this thing wrapping up and finalizing itself. God owes it to us. He said these things will not come on us as unawares. And this is why the things that we're about and all the things happening as we appear to look, to comprehend and understand, looking into the heavenlies, as we see these things happening, saying is, for we can understand which day and which hour that these things are happening and where they're running in. So again, as we start looking and we think of this baptism, and we think of a water baptism, we think of a spirit baptism, you say, well, what is the difference? And one would go to the Jew and one would also go to the Jew. But the difference is a spirit Jew. The difference is his natural Jew. So if you take a natural Jew and you baptize him in the Spirit, then he's no longer a natural. You took that thing that was natural. You took that thing which was mortal. You took that thing which was temporal. And you took that thing. Now again, when we're depending on where we dissect or look at, we find this thing within your own life. Get away from geological locations or countries or Jewish thoughts. We get into your first birth. And that first man being born would line up with that waterly type. And the Bible says that when you're born again, it talks about by water and it talks about of spirit. So when we think of these things, we see we could break this thing down and bring it to you as an individual. And we think of your first birth showing that Jewish perspective or Jewish part or that natural part, that part being blinded. And we think of the light being veiled within the darkness. And we think of the light being the understanding. Light always would go back to comprehension or understanding. And we think of Christ being the light dwelling within, the kingdom being within, these rivers of living water flowing from that innermost being. We find these things showing this spiritual perspective. And we think of the baptism. We think of the natural earth being flooded with water. And we go back to the water and we think of the natural earth. But then we come to this one and we think of this earthen vessel and we think how necessary to be taken and buried in a watery grave of baptism in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus that we've seen right here. But even though as we read right here, we see two baptisms that take place. We finding that there was a baptism in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, and we find also a spirit baptism. We find that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we find that some that thinking that they received what they would say, the infilling of the Holy Ghost with this evidence of speaking in tongues. And then they would think and they'd have this gift come and they would find themselves speaking tongues and they think, well, it's not necessary. It doesn't matter. It is still necessary. We find also in the Scriptures that some that had this spirit and they received the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the and they even seen them speak in tongues in these things and it said, would any forbid these water? And still took and baptized them in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And if a man is truly filled with the Holy Ghost before the foundation of the world, he will fulfill the Scriptures. He will fulfill the Scriptures and find himself being water baptized. So we say water, blood, we say spirit. You say you talk about spirit baptism. What way would be blood? And I said that in one perspective of thought, you could find the blood and the spirit running together. And you could understand it in such a way. But when we go into blood life, and we think of things of blood, we step into the second heavenly, or we step into a physical realm. We have natural, physical, and spiritual. And again, water, blood, and spirit. So when we look into this realm, and we think of this baptism, and we think, what would that be? How would we be baptized in blood? You would never see spirit baptism unless you first came to blood baptism, being bathed or washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, but I was never dipped in the blood. You see, what happens, brothers and sisters, is there when people swap dimensional projection of understanding. As the Lord Jesus Christ said that you would have to eat of this flesh and drink of this blood. And they went away confounded, thinking, why would this man speak of such a way? So when we think of blood baptism, when we think of the blood, we go back to the allegoric type and we find them coming out of Egypt, out of bondage, and they come through the Red Sea, being an allegoric or typical of this blood, showing this baptism, and they come through this thing, and then they go around through a wilderness, and they come into Canaan. See, many times, brothers and sisters, people say, do you teach a threefold salvation? No, I don't preach a threefold salvation, but I preach that there's a threefold manifestation. Just as I don't preach three gods. I think there's just one God, one faith again, one baptism. But I do believe that this God, that I could dissect Him into understanding and comprehension, and I could use the term Trinity, but not three persons. I could say triune, understanding, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, water, blood, spirit again. I could use these terminologies of comprehension. And when I come to my salvation, no, I don't believe in this in a threefold perspective of thought and or in salvation. I believe that I was saved before this world ever was. I believe that I was saved when I was still yet in my sin. I believe that I was saved before the foundation of this world and my name put in the book of life. But I believe in a dissecting of comprehension. I believe that most definitely that when I come to this understanding of salvation, because of the Spirit being eternal and this Spirit man being cleansed and already being transfigured, already being transformated, already being translated. You see, the translation shows the Spirit already translated, the Spirit already caught away. It don't have to be transfigured. It don't have to be transformed because the Spirit is perfect. The Spirit is righteous. The Spirit is right. There is no sin. There is no corruption. There is no unrighteousness. It is clean. So it doesn't need that. But when we step into the soul, the Bible says the saving of the soul. And when we step into the soul realm, we find travail, we find warfare. And when we find this warfare in the second heavenly and the soul, we find this work of this righteousness of the spirit world coming into a second heavenly perspective of the blood life or in this physical realm. And we find this inner quickening, invisible work coming from within, working there. And we find the works of darkness from this first and from warring with the things of the natural man, the carnal mind being enmity with God, the carnal things being enmity with the spiritual things. And we find these two warring and travailing in the soul realm or in a second heavenly perspective. And we find this travail when he said, I show you a mystery. And speaking of that red dragon, speaking of this red dragon that was shown there in heaven, knowing it wasn't in the third heaven because we know of the casting out. So we know that it was in the second heaven. And we find in Revelation of a place prepared for the woman. And we find that in this wilderness there. So again, as we go to the allegorics and we find them coming out of Egypt, going through the blood, but then we find a wilderness wandering. And this is why I said I'm so much going to talk about a threefold salvation, but I'm bringing you to comprehension. You could have truly went through the things of being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. You could have went through the confession with your mouth and the believing within your heart. And you could truly be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, but there's a wilderness, brothers and sisters. And you'll find yourself in this wilderness, and you'll never get to the crossing of Canaan. You'll never come across the Jordan of the intellectual mind until you go through this wilderness. It's like I've said in times past, we as the brethren there, we would always time, we say, you know, brother, you're in a wilderness, brother, you're in a wilderness. And we would look at it so oftentimes as a negative thing. And when you're in Canaan land, yes, you would look at it as a negative thing of wandering around. And you would look at it as a negative. But if you were in Egypt, you would look at it as a positive thing because you've come out of bondage and you've came into this wilderness to make your journey and your crossing. So we find that all mankind, we find that all men that's come to salvation, all men that's born again, all men that have come to any kind of spiritual insight or understanding had to go through a wilderness, had to go through a travail in blood life, had to go through this second heavenly thing, and we say baptized by the blood of the Lord Jesus. So we find in this realm, we find sanctification because we find translation in the Spirit. We find transformation in the second heavenly or sanctification. So we know that we're sanctified by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all, His works at Calvary, which run parallel or with the translation. But when we think, brothers and sisters, when we think of this sanctification, we also think of a daily sanctification, which again runs with the transforming of the mind. So what we find, and we think of rapture, we find a natural rapture, a physical rapture, and a spiritual rapture, or a water, blood, spirit once again. And when we look at this rapture, we look at a catching up. So we know that in the translation of the Spirit that this inner man has been already caught up. It talks about when the child's born and being caught up. So we know that this rapture's already taken place. So then when we look into the secondly one, we think of a daily catching away. We think of a daily catching up. That means our thoughts are raptured to be with God. We take this carnal mind and we bury it out and we catch away into the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. We think of sanctification and justification and justified in the Spirit once and for all again. But then yet when we come over to sanctification, there's a daily sanctification. The Spirit doesn't need sanctification because it's already justified. It's already sanctified and glorified. glorified. The Spirit doesn't need to be glorified. It is the glory of God. But we step down through dimensional projections and we find that this purchased possession or this bodily perspective is the one that's got to be glorified. So as we come from the justification to the sanctification, we find that the sanctification is a work happening in the seven heavenly realm by us killing out, mortifying the deeds which would be of the flesh, and we find us sanctifying our actions and our attributes or the works to bring them back unto God. So then as we find this happening there, it goes into the bloodline. So John the Baptist said, you know, he said, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You understand? So we find that again, this has to do with that purifying fire. We find that in the soul realm that this fire of the Holy Ghost, of this Holy Spirit, is coming down and is purifying the unvirtuous, unclean things out of our life and bringing us through sanctification, being tried as of by fire and being made pure. So what we've got to do is understand what's taking place. What part of us is being purified? What part of us, if it is the ministry of the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints? That's what the Bible says. But then yet, it says that Jesus perfected us once and for all by His works at Calvary. So see, here again, we got to go into dimensional projection. We know that in the Spirit, it already is justified. In the Spirit, it's already sanctified. It's all done by His works. But we've got to bring those finished, completed works at Calvary, and we got to bring them into a manifestation. Does anybody doubt that when Jesus was here, He was God? If you can't believe He was God, you're Antichrist. But so we know that He was God. Does anybody think that He had to come down here and He had to be tempted with all things common unto man to prove He was God? No, He was God. He didn't have to come to earth to prove that He was God. He was God. He was in the beginning. He was. He always was, always will be. You see, He is God. It didn't have to be proved. It wasn't proving this to Himself. You understand that? That He came and made a manifestation unto man that man could find salvation is the purpose that He came. So what we've got to understand, brothers and sisters, these things are not happening in our life, the sanctification, or these things of these sacrifices and mortifying the deeds of the flesh. We do these things to make, yes, our calling and election sure, that we could went to the understanding to see that these things and know that there is this Holy Ghost dwelling within us. But the thing is that we're also doing this very thing that other people can see the good works of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling with us in this present day and hour, that they can find salvation and that they can have salvation. So again, it depends on which dimensional plateau, or depends on how you would look at it. We've used different terminologies trying to generate a thought of understanding. We use different terminologies. We may say plateau, we may say levels, we may say dimensions, we may say powers. We say things to gender a thought. If we say Trinity to gender a thought, then or to bring a thought and it brings the right kind of thought, then it's okay. But if it brings a thought that's error, then it's not okay. And this is why we have to go many, many times into explanation or into definitions to try to get you to comprehend. So again, we could speak out of a spiritual thought and a spiritual perspective and talk about how wonderful it is to be a son of God. We could talk about how awesome it is to be born of God and can't sin. We could talk about how beautiful it is to have eternal life and to be living forever. We could talk about how awesome it is to know that we passed from death unto life. We could talk about how wonderful it is to know that death has been conquered, brothers and sisters. And we could speak in such a confidence and such a knowing and such an insurance. But you see, people of this world that don't understand, it's going to be more than they could understand. Where is this works of salvation? Where is the works of this prayer? Where is the works of these things? So what we've got to do is understand each and every projection for we could comprehend them and understand them. I find people that's been under the mind of Christ, under what we might say the indoctrination of revelation. We might say that they've been under Brother Pike's ministry, but they have problems with keeping dimensions in order. Some still seeking and running after their own salvation, even though the Bible does say, make the calling and election sure. A tree being known by its doing. Or a child known by its doing. And a tree known by the fruit that it bears. So yes, there is a way. The Bible says, try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. Again, I've said so many times, even speaking of that scripture, that people say, well, I'm going to check out old brother such and such when I see him today and see if he's of God. You see, is that right? Is that proper? Can we do that? We say, most definitely. Could a guy be of God today and not tomorrow? Well, it could be God manifesting today and maybe not tomorrow, just as again we use Peter as an example. You know, as we say when he says, "Get ye behind me, Satan." But then we find him being spoke so highly and so positive of a man full of the Holy Ghost and doing these things and speaking these things that we even read about and talking about this great message preached on that first day. But you see, what is it? Was he the devil? If the Lord said, "Get ye behind me, Satan," was he Satan? Or was he one that came to the revelation of the Lord?